Moncrief on News Talk.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. Barbara and Declan join us once again to sort out your absolutely rubbish lives. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
I have just turned 50 and really want to date again, but don't know where to start. I spent most of my 40s single and celibate after a long-term relationship broke down shortly after the birth of my son. In the last 10 years, I've been a dedicated man, but I've really ignored my own needs. I miss having a sex life and feeling wanted. There's only so much satisfaction you can get on your own. I'm ready to ditch the vibrator and actually meet a man. All of my friends are married, and I feel like there's never an opportunity for me to meet anyone in real life. I'd be open to a fling, something to get me back on the horse. Somebody at work suggested walking clubs, but that just sounds like a sad hobby for old people. I don't want to spend the next 10 years of my life as lonely and single as I spent the last. I don't think the dating apps really work for people who aren't young and beautiful in their 20s. What should I do?
I don't want to appear unsympathetic to this woman's plight. But I think the first thing she should do is drop the ageist attitude to things like walking clubs. They are not sad activities for older people. Yeah. Anybody can be
But will she get the ride?
Yeah.
Well, do you know, I think there's more of a chance of getting the ride from meeting people who you meet out socially doing activities, whether that's walking.
And they're vigorous, relatively fit people as well.
That's what I mean,
so, you know.
It's not.
They're wrecked. I'm out now. I'm wrecked.
Yeah. Listen, if you can hike up a hill, you can probably perform. Do you know what I mean? To her satisfaction.
Yeah.
But
like the Grand Old Duke of York.
Yeah. He was a goer.
He was up and down all day. Yeah.
Oh my God. But I think that change your attitude about the sad activities for older people. And I think one of the things in life in general, I mean, this woman is, she must be 50-ish, right? Yeah. Like one of the things that is really important as you get older is working out what makes you happy. What do you like doing? What do you enjoy doing? And sometimes, particularly, I think if you've been very busy with kids and careers and husbands and whatever, you kind of forget what it is that actually makes you happy. So I genuinely think what she needs to do is work out what does she enjoy doing. It mightn't be climbing up a hill or going on a walk.
No,
it could.
I think she's told us what makes her happy. It's just how she's going to get there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, no, but in order to get there, that's what I mean. It's not the direct route very often. So in other words, I think she needs to widen her social horizons, preferably by doing something she enjoys doing, whether that is learning to paint or, you know, I don't know, joining a writing group or doing something to get herself out and about. I think you need to put your social life up, ramp it up a little bit in order to increase the opportunities that you might have to meet somebody in real life who potentially could give you the ride.
Yeah.
As regards dating apps, I have no experience whatsoever, but I do know, and a quick Google search will tell her this, there are dating apps that are specifically aimed at older people, at over 50s specifically.
Okay.
So I wouldn't discount that either as a possibility, particularly if she just wants to get in some practice.
Yeah, so to speak.
As she said, that a dating app.
And these over 50 ones, do they, like, how much information do they give about themselves?
I didn't go that far.
Yeah.
Because I know.
Like, we'll need a pill in 24 hours notice kind of thing.
I doubt
you know.
If you'd be putting that. Yeah. Sean, they're only over 50s. They're not over 87.
No, you were going to say, they're over 50s. The counter. That's what I thought you were going to say. They're over the counter now. We're all grand.
Oh, sorry, those pills. But sure, yes, sure, so what? As long as you have the pills, you're grand. Yeah. So what I'm saying to her, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't discount the dating apps, but also look at expanding your general social horizons. And then I think very often if you become so focused on, I need to meet somebody, I need to meet somebody, I need to meet somebody. That's the last place. That's the last way you're going to meet anybody because you're giving off a vibe as well that's not great. So relax the cacks about all of that kind of stuff and just increase your social life.
I think she sounded like, the fact that she says she's open to a fling is actually a healthy thing.
Oh, it's good,
I think.
I think for somebody who's in her specific set of circumstances, that is kind of like a realistic way of being honest about their own motivations while simultaneously accepting the fact that, you know, as a mom of a teenager, she's not going to want a certain kind of intensity. She hasn't got room in her life for, you know, a certain kind of a relationship. yet. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? No, I'm going to start from the very beginning.
So,
you're giving me a rolly
totally
eye
sure,
there, Barbara.
Yeah. What are you saying, Declan?
I'm saying that she knows who she is and she knows what she's got time for, and therefore she doesn't have to be like a 20-year-old who's on the dating game and giving some guy all of her attention. She can be the kind of woman who's elusive, Scarlet Pimpernel, who can kind of show up, have her fling, and then move back to, you know, whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be this big
emotional thought process.
I think also when you're older, you know who you are a little bit more. She doesn't want to be one of these sad people that's looking around for love in every social club that's going. That's what the vibe I'm getting is that somebody is saying, I don't want to be that doe-eyed person in the corner who every time they're introduced to a fella is kind of looking for a wedding ring and asking them personal questions. All the things that everybody's friends advise them to do in order to snatch a man later in life. I think that this person is like, they're kind of happy in a certain level of ways, and they're also realizing that it's perfectly okay to approach situations knowing what it is that you want to get out of them.
I do think you've made a big leap there. I mean, I agree with most of what you said, and I agree with the fact that, you know, she has mentioned celibate and the fact that she is ready to ditch the vibrator and actually meet a man. But I do read, and I'm reading between the lines here.
I think that's all metaphoric speaking, though. I think without getting too graphic, I don't think that's it's a scenario that she's saying, I'm ready in my life to go out and start meeting people again. That's basically what this boils down to.
I think also she probably is looking maybe for something. Like she said that she doesn't mind the idea of a fling to get back on the horse, but that she would, I think she would like a relationship at the end of that.
Yes.
I'm saying the opposite.
I'm saying that
some people, because of where they've been, and because, like, I she's been through this all already and she's had a relationship that didn't work out. She is a teenager.
But that doesn't mean you never want another relationship.
No, of course not. But you're also not going to rush straight into a relationship. There is a happy medium ground where you can kind of work out what it is that's going on in the world.
As you said yourself, you do know yourself a little bit better. So you'll know quicker than you would maybe when you were 20 if this is somebody with whom you would consider a relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
Or whether it's not somebody you'd consider a
relationship
with.
Which is why there's a certain kind of hesitance around apps and all that isn't this kind of Luddite mentality. It's because they're for a particular purpose. For younger people, the process
there are people over 50 who've used dating apps and have found partners.
I'm saying that if you're using an app hoping to meet the one within your first go of the app, you're kind of deluded. I'm saying that for most people, they are hookup apps.
She sounds like she's grown up enough to maybe know that.
That's what I'm saying. So she's looking
for
a hookup.
But I think most people who are in their 50s on a dating app would be more like her than like the kind of like just, hookup kind of situation.
Yeah.
That's only me surmising.
She's looking for a hookup.
Yeah.
I think she's looking for a relationship.
Yeah. On the dating app, maybe a bit of both. On the dating apps, being for beautiful young people, I think any woman who's been on the apps for even a few days will dispute that. Another text that says, go to places where there are people, like gigs, trad sessions, protest marches, hills where people are walking, and look out for a man that you like.
Protest marches. We don't have very many of them anymore.
No. Gaza.
The other thing I was going to say is...
It depends what she feels about it. I mean, if she's...
Or get involved in the community association.
The rest of the association. There you go.
They're all randy as hell.
They're all like dying for the action.
Some sex in it to say, I'm a happy single male, heterosexual, I like my own space, I'm never lonely, I have a full busy life. Why did you bother your fingers actually sending in that message?
I don't know. A round of applause.
Somebody else says, I'm 68. Those pills are great.
Good man yourself.
Both of those statements are completely valid. And I think at the end of the day, it's about, isn't there a lot to be said about, you know, enjoying your own company? I don't mean it with a vibration.
Well, I mean, I think she has.
I knew you were going to say that. But I mean, you know, being old enough and wise enough to know who you are allows you to make better choices about who you want to entertain having in your life. And I think that's not something
that
young people...
But also, if you're at the stage where she's at, where she's a teenager and she's, I presume, just the one child, you are facing a future potentially on your Sweeney. Do you know what I mean? Mm. He's not going to be around all the time. So I'd say that's in her mind as well. So I think she's willing to go via hookups, But I think she's looking
for a relationship.
Okay,
but we need to separate the fact that, you know, that she's probably going to end up on her, you know, on her Sweeney Todd as a definite outcome, because that's not the case. In fact, in my own life, I can think of all the people I know whose marriages broke up. Most of them are back together again with somebody else and they're doing quite well.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. But this is where she wants to get to. That's exactly what I'm saying. She wants to get to that situation.
So giving her hope is good. It is an outcome that's potentially possible, but taking it slowly. And
do you know the other thing you could do? Now, it's a bit of a... I wouldn't suggest doing this unless you're absolutely into it, but it's a great way of meeting people, is get a dog. If you're into getting it... Oh, God. Yeah, dog people...
Are you just suggesting going doggy?
Yes.
Is that like a code? Does it make what kind of dog you have?
I swear to God, Janessa, I'm wasted here. I'm just wasted.
Oh my God, a dash out, you dirty thing.
Pearls and swine. That is terrible.
I met the love of my life first go on a dating app. Love at first sight. She was a knockout. 12 years and I still love her.
That's excellent. Good man.
Good man yourself. When you say love at first sight, when you like saw her picture on a screen, you felt in love with her. That's.
Oh, I'd say it was when you met her.
Okay, yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah,
Otherwise, legally dubious. Last month, I did Dry January for the first time ever. I'm in my late 20s and I've drunk constantly throughout my late teens and 20s. I never really believed that I had a problem with drink, as I'm a sporty guy and only really drank in recent years once a week, maybe on a Friday or Saturday. Sorry, that's twice a week. My friend group is quite diverse and has become fragmented over time. Some have long-term girlfriends, some have emigrated, and some I don't like as much as I did for various reasons. I don't blame them for these life choices they had to make them, and their lives are enriched because of them. But alcohol has helped keep our group together amid those differences, albeit in a toxic way. Ooh. I went out again and started drinking last weekend, and I hated the experience. I never realised how much I relied on alcohol for social satisfaction. When I went sober last month, I felt more confident, performed better in work and exercised more. I want to go sober full time, as I saw the huge positive effect it had on my well-being, but I fear my friendships and social life will suffer as a result. What can I do?
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting one. And it's kind of two issues wrapped up in one. There's the issue about alcohol and a relationship with alcohol, particularly in this country, which I'll get onto in a moment. But then there's the topic about relationships and about how relationships that we have, how we view the relationships we have, particularly in regards to how long-standing they are, and how those relationships can change as we change. And there's a really interesting thing in there, because a lot of people are kind of convinced that the longest standing relationships that they have are somehow the best relationships that they have. And I wouldn't think that that's necessarily the case. And I also would suggest that as we go through life, it's a natural progress for a life in evolution for us to change. And as we change, we also change the world that we're in. And that includes the relationships that we have. I mean, who of us hasn't, you know, moved on from friends that we once, you know, that Irish college friend that we swore we'd never stop writing to, and then lo and behold, I'll never forget you, whatever your name is.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, and it's quite a common scenario to move on from one job to the next and then not have the same intensity of relationship as you did, because a lot of relationships are kind of contextual. I'm not saying they're relationships of convenience, but the convenience sure helps, you know, that, you know, if you're in somebody's environment all the time, it does help for that relationship to grow and develop.
And you have a commonality,
you're communicating as well.
Yeah.
So that whole thing, so what I'm saying is that changing changes that. Is change good? Well, change is good is if you're changing for your own purposes and you're trying to evolve who you are, which brings me onto this particular issue where this guy, in this instance, it's about alcohol. He's saying that his relationship with alcohol doesn't feel right to him and he wants to make that change for it, And as he's doing that, he doesn't want the change that he's making to change things, which is kind of like, you know, you have to accept that if you're going to change your life in some way, there's going to be, it's like taking medication and there being side effects. You can't say, I want the good part of my medication without there being side effects, right? So in this instance as well, we live in a world where alcohol is so enmeshed into our society, and you can kind of going down for a pint with the lads or whoever your gang of friends are. It's the kind of the convenience of that's how the whole thing is a habit, like the alcohol is a habit. And if you try to change that, sometimes you have a bit of pushback, because if you walk into a room and say, we're here in the pub every week drinking together and I've decided that my relationship with alcohol is bad and I'm drinking too much, you're basically saying to that whole room of people that their relationship with alcohol is bad too, because
no.
You kind of are. You kind of are. And that's the way a lot of people pick it up, which is the reason why when people try to change on a slow level, I'm not talking about alcoholism, I'm talking about changing the way in which you behave with alcohol, there's often pushback from people around you.
Yeah, no, I absolutely, I totally agree with you. I think the interesting thing about this is that apparently the younger generation are drinking less now than their parents did, which is, so this guy's not alone.
Now do the figures for cocaine.
Sorry, what?
Now do the figures for cocaine.
Okay,
I'm just saying,
right.
You know,
I don't know.
But the ones who were drinking are drinking
less.
More. The ones who are still drinking are drinking more because they're snorting cocaine.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying,
okay,
you know, that
one thing or the other.
Yes. Like, what is happening?
Well,
a lot of people who don't
to...
drink are doing cocaine instead of alcohol.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
and
okay,
then there's like a lot of people who are, and there's a lot of kind of narcotic activity that requires alcohol not to be present.
Okay.
So, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
I lead a very sheltered life. Anyway, all I was trying to say was that this guy, I'm sure, isn't alone. There seems to be quite a few now younger people who are not interested that much in drinking alcohol. I do agree with you in that we have in this country a funny attitude to alcohol. I gave up alcohol for 2 years during menopause when my migraines were really triggered every time I had a drink. And so in the end, I gave it up. And it does put you in this weird kind of outside the circle of trust almost when you go out, you know, that you're the only one who's not drinking. You're sipping water while everybody else are getting slowly sozzled and you're just getting slowly more tired and want to go home. It does kind of freak people out a little bit. And people were very curious and very like, well, why are you not drinking? Like, I had to explain over and over.
Of course, yeah.
But what I'm saying and you do feel a little bit like you're kind of a traitor, you know, you're not really playing the game because you're kind of like staying sober. But eventually people got used to it and just accepted it. And it wasn't any big deal anymore.
Because they're not really interested in what's happening with you.
They're
feeling judged by what you're doing. That's what my point was.
Yeah, I agree with you then. Yes, I see what you mean. But I do think what I'm going to say to this guy is that he has clearly found that being sober is better for him. And he gave us the reasons why he feels more confident. He performs better in work. He exercises more. All that is great, good, positive stuff.
But he can't expect to make changes in his life and for those changes
but
not to have consequences.
But what I'm saying is the consequences will be temporary. Do you know what I mean? Eventually people get over themselves and get over it and just accept it.
Or sometimes the kind of commonality you have with that person no longer exists. Because
if it's
work.
Just based on alcohol, then it wasn't
a proper friendship
anyway.
A lot of going out at the weekend is based on just alcohol.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
For a lot of younger people, it's going, we're going down the lock, we're going on the sesh, we're having the party. And if you take away that motivation, and a lot of that is to do with your own feeling about being on the beer. You take that away, it becomes boring and you don't want to be there. And then you have to question, well, why do I want to be with these people at all?
That's a different thing. I mean, when I gave up alcohol, I could still go out. I could still have the crack. I didn't have the longevity because I did get tired quicker. Alcohol gives you a false boost. But I did get tired quicker. But I was still able to have the crack and enjoy what was going on. I mean, you don't suddenly become a kind of really boring pillar person who's not able to speak because you don't, you're not going to get drunk or have any alcohol. But what I'm saying to him is if he finds that that works, he should stick with it. The friends will get over it. But I also agree
I think that's not what his problem
is. Yeah,
his
problem is the friends.
His problem isn't, he likes not drinking, but the only way he can stick his friends is when he's pissed. Because he doesn't really like them. Because he said already,
which is why I had
in
a prelude about relationships and stuff like that. I'm just trying to point out that there is often a situation whether or not, like if it was an alcohol abuse scenario where he was.
Oh, that's different,
No, but it is different, of course. But I'm saying then mentally it would make much more sense for him to feel that he had to remove himself from that situation. Mm. But because it's kind of like I'm doing that at the moment. I haven't been drinking for months and months and months and months. And I've been managing like to continue my social life in a way that, you know, sometimes it does affect me in the way that you've described that you just don't want to be there because you're tired or you're bored or because people have passed the threshold of being as much crack as they are.
There's all that white powder on your nose.
That's what I wanted to mention. But I'm talking really fast and having a really good time.
I think he needs to join a walking club.
It's quite simple. Don't say anything to your drinking friends. Just turn up and not drink.
If but they all notice. It, like, yeah, people in Ireland notice when you're drinking sparkling water. Also,
well, that's if you, because they know, well, certainly for beer, the double zeros are all perfectly fine and they're not horrible, like.
Yeah.
If they notice have an issue, then you can move on. I think they will get used to it.
But I think also there is an element that he might need to move on a little bit as well, because I do think just because his life is going one way, and as he told us, a lot of their lives are going another way. And I think hanging on to friendships just for the sake of
it—that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes the longevity. We have such guilt because we move on in some way, but sometimes that's just they're the twists and turns of life, and you can find yourself in a situation where that had to happen, whether it was your decision or their decision. You know, people are fine. Yeah. We're still alive after it happens, you know?
True. Mm.
Just going back to the woman who would like to meet someone again. Brian says when one gets to a certain age, meeting people is not that easy and the dating apps are useless. I've been single for 5 years. I haven't had a single date during those 5 years. I tried the apps. I did college courses to meet like-minded people, joined walking groups, cinema groups and book groups, all to no avail. I'm pretty much resigned to never dating again. Oh, gosh.
Did you say that was from Brian?
Yeah. Why do you know him?
No, I don't know. I thought he was making some point about it was more difficult for women than men. So I thought that it was a woman, but no, it's not.
Tony says, I quit drinking for a few years. I felt great, but my friends, one mate would put a pint in front of me saying, I know you won't drink it, but it makes me feel better. I got to the point I had to put a mock G&T in a Slim Jim to stop people urging me to drink.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, some people really, really react badly to it. And those people are wrestling with their own demons. And I think that's really shady nonsense. Yeah. But I do also think it's perfectly possible to be in a pub and not drink and be with your friends if your friends and you share something that's worth sharing.
Exactly.
That's not alcohol, by the way.
I like that.
Or the other stuff.
That's true.
Two best things I did in my life were to give up alcohol and get a dog.
There you go.
Says the texter.
I know who that is.
You know who that is? Okay, great. Right. My husband worked for 40 years. When he got to 65, he had to retire. His company made a real fuss of him when he left, and he had a great going away party. You could tell he would be missed as he poured himself into the job. Before he retired, we had talked about enjoying retirement together and doing a lot of travel. I gave up work when we had our three children. So for the last 25 years, I've been busy at home. In that time, I've made my own life, my own routine. I gave up a lot myself to make sure he was free to climb the career ladder. Now that he's retired, I thought the time had come for us to enjoy this next stage of life. The problem is my husband does nothing. Since retiring, I'm still doing all the cooking and looking after the home. He said he would spend more time in the garden, but that never happened. We haven't booked a holiday because it would be up to me to organise it. I can tell he's so unhappy and lacking a purpose. I'm not really sure what I can do. I'm nipping at him, and to be honest, our marriage is the worst it's ever been because we're generally not spent much time together since before we got married. What can I do?
I love this letter, and I bet this letter is resonating with women all over the country because I don't think this is unusual. There's a couple of things to unpack here, but the very first thing that I need to unpack is that this guy has retired, having had worked for 40 years, and he thinks it's okay for her to be doing everything around the house and he's doing nothing.
Yeah.
That is the biggest thing here. So this lady needs to sit down with her husband and have a serious discussion with him about the fact that, you know, she's not some kind of unpaid slave that just does all the stuff in the house. And that's really important. I had to do that during COVID. Husband's work dried up and I was like, yeah, hello, no, you know, I'm not doing this, Sammy Sweeney. And we sat down and we worked out and we're still working on that roster, which is great. So division of labour should be equal and you need to talk to him about doing that. He also needs to learn how to cook. I think a lot of men of this age don't know how to cook because they never had to learn how to cook. And it's in his own interest that he should learn how to cook, even though generally women live longer. He may end up on a Sweeney. So he needs to learn how to cook and she should be putting him in charge of meals a couple of times a week. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say to her is book the bloody holiday. I think it's 75 to 80% of holidays and trips abroad are booked by women, not men. Apparently, we're much better at it. We pay more attention to detail. Yeah,
wow.
I was aware of that from my days in travel because women are the ones who book the holidays. I think we pay more attention to detail. And I think we also are much better able to see how what we're doing affects everybody in the party and how everybody will enjoy it. And I don't think men do that as well. So get over yourself about booking the holiday. Make him do the housework, but you go ahead and book the holiday and go away and have a good time. And when you're away from life and the housework and the fact that he's been lazy, you might remember why it is that you married him, and it might be just the thing that you need. So book the holiday, but make him do his fair share at home. And don't let him just, you know, be, I'm going to go out and do the garden. No.
He needs a purpose, though. And I know what you're saying is completely legitimate, but he's completely, it's almost like he's come to a full, he's been running and then he's comes to a stop and he, what do you now?
And you see, again, I think men are in a worse situation when that happens, because women, because of our biology, we tend to step out of work, you know, with babies and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So we're not, it's not as much of a like culture shock when suddenly the paid work ends. By the way, you don't have to go at 65. So it's his choice, clearly, to go at 65.
You don't know that, but
sorry, it's illegal.
No, she says he had to retire at 65.
I don't think that's legal anymore to make people retire at 65 or 66.
Oh, I think it can be. Yeah,
can it
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, it just depends on the circumstance of what his work arrangements
are. But
that's
like purely ageist, then. That is a disgrace. You shouldn't be forced.
You fix that, then, you know.
Don't you patronise me over there. Patronise me from over there.
We have no ability to see anything other than what we want to do ourselves.
That shocks me if you can be made to retire. I thought that was gone. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah.
No, you can be made retire.
that
wasn't
a threat.
That wasn't a threat.
You
can be made retire. But I do think, look, I agree with your short-term advice that she should book the holiday, because that just seems like she's arguing about the substance of the stuff rather than the consequence of the thing. I think that, you know, if they go on a holiday and they enjoy it, she should say, now you do the next one, kind of. That's the vibe I'd be suggesting.
Do you know what? I wouldn't advise her to do that.
Well,
at
only because
all.
It's
continue
a control
to book
thing.
The holiday. Don't
that's
give up control
thing,
of the holidays.
Though, rather
don't.
Than
you'll end up having a holiday you won't enjoy.
I do think,
he'll
though, that when it comes to him having the transition from having his identity so enmeshed into his job to now having no identity because he no longer has a job, that's a really serious life change. It's a massive kind of... like, it's like the hollow has been pulled out from, you know, inside him. Yeah, roll your eyes, Barb, if you want to. But the reality of it is, it is a big change for him, and that's what he's going through. She is not changing. She's consistently through her thing, so there's been no change.
In other words, she's still breaking her neck, doing everything in the house. That's what hasn't changed.
Yeah.
No, well, and he's sitting on his bum.
I know, but that's kind of a side issue. He's been doing the one thing for 40 years. And then he stops and he doesn't know what to do.
I know. Yeah, that's awful. And he does need to find. But that's not something that can be sorted overnight. That'll take him a while to get used to his new reality. Yeah. But what she should be sorting overnight is sitting him down and saying, now, listen, Fred, you know, you're going to do the hoovering every day and you're going to learn how to cook. And you're also going to take on responsibility for whatever, and dividing up the household chores between them.
But if she approaches that in that way, and he's already feeling like his life is over and ruined, and he doesn't see it in the right context.
His life isn't over. He's retired, lads.
Yeah, you know,
I know that. Work down a mine.
I know that. I'm not the one who's saying that his feelings are
okay. So Barbara says kick in the arse. What do you say? We have to leave it now.
I say be kind when you kick him in the arse.
Yeah. Okay. Just going back to what we're talking about before. Somebody's texted in to agree with you, Barbara. She's right about getting a dog. You know. I only wish I got mine before I got married. Right, Barbara and Declan. Thanks a million. We have to take a break back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.